Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is The Lowest Effect. My name is Elisa.
My name is Low Power Mode. My landline wasn't cooperating, so I had to switch phones, but I did, and we're here, and here we have it. Okay, so three things you're grateful for.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely have to include our call with our mastermind group from Sunday night. Just a very powerful session. And even though, there were definite technical difficulties on my end talking about phones.
Me too. Yeah.
It was nice to not give up and to at least sit in on the call. It's very different to just, to not have that visual that everyone
right.
else has on Zoom. But very glad I stuck with it. And thankful for that.
Mm-hmm.
Also appreciative of just being able to sit outside. I haven't done it every day.
I did do it.
I want to say it wasn't yesterday, maybe the day before, maybe it was Sunday, where I just sat outside and put my feet on the ground, barefoot for a little bit. I mean, it wasn't for a crazy long period of time, but it was just very pleasant to sit still for a moment outside. And I was
outside.
Sipping on my little hot water with lemon.
Yeah.
And it was good. It was very good for me.
Yep.
And also thankful for doing this change in diet. I'm starting to see some nice changes with my skin. I mean, it's still a long road. But I basically cut out meat and dairy. And I did get some gluten-free bread the other day at Costco, so I've been doing a bit of that. So it's basically a bunch of fruit and vegetables.
Good for you. That is so
wonderful. And then
wonderful.
The gluten-free bread. So that's been really good. It's been really good. So
that's wonderful. No, I love that. I would have to say I'm grateful for Anna and the Mastermind group. And it's funny, I too, for maybe a third of the call, couldn't see anybody either. So that's weird.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it wasn't until quite a ways in that I was able to see people. So glad, like you, to persevere and not make that not a reason at all to not persist, and that was really wonderful and so pleasant and so collaborative. I really enjoyed that. And I would say the second thing, on Saturday we had the weather was just beautiful, and I have not really felt the vibe to go out, just to go out and enjoy being outside. It's just the vibe here, and I'm sure everywhere, is just, it's a little off.
Right.
But I so had to anyway. And I took a walk, went by the water. Of course, there were so many people there, and you see the science fiction movie, you see social distancing. I went to Whole Foods the other day, and you have like this robotic voice. Please make sure to social distance. I'm like, what is low rent movie? Yeah, what is this low rent movie I'm in that I said I didn't want to watch? Thank you. So that kind of it's weird. Like you have like this robotic voice in Whole Foods telling you to social distance. That was weird. And you could just see like the whole spectrum of how people are taking care of themselves or not taking care of themselves. But it doesn't matter. I took care of myself. And people, for the most part, were keeping their distance. And I just found an empty bench. I had my mask. I had my gloves. And I just sat and I looked at the water.
Mm.
And so grateful that I, yes, maybe I would prefer to be in a place of the backyard or a country house right now, whatever. But there's another part of me that's so ride or die as a New Yorker. I think if I was in the country, I would feel like I should be home. So either way, I think if I had to choose one, I am as much as I adore nature, I am a ride or die New Yorker. So I'm here in the trenches with my fellow New Yorkers, which is fine. But I'm so grateful to live in a city and to live in a part of the city where in just a few minutes, I could be in a really beautiful area and just be out for a second. We haven't had many nice days. Today's supposed to be another one. So I will run errands very strategically to when it's the warmest out today. But we've had a lot of rain. It's been cold. So I'm grateful for just being able to go outside and sort of push through that feeling of what's the point of going out? It's dangerous. It's not fun. It's not pleasant. But kind of find an in-between, find a space of neutrality. So I think the second thing officially is discovering pockets of neutrality so I can still live my life and really continue to make this a healing journey as it is for all of us. And then I would say the third thing is, I'm grateful for, oh, there's so many. Let me just pick. I'm grateful for magnesium as a supplement. And we were talking on recent shows about sleep. And managing that, and I'm finding that taking magnesium in with tea or with hot water at night, 30 minutes before I go to bed, has made such a difference. And there's many different magnesium supplements. I think one is called Calm, one is called Good Night. But basically, it's a combination of magnesium, calcium, and something else. Also, with not getting much vitamin D, if you take calcium with a vitamin D supplement, that helps when you can't be in the sun, not in the sun nearly as much as I would like to be or I'm used to doing. So I would say my sleep quality has improved, and I'm tired at a more normal time, which is good. Like 11 o'clock, I'm tired. I'm up. I want to get up at like 6:30. I don't push it, but my body naturally gets up, and I want to sort of regulate a similar sleep pattern. I think when to shift. As they're slowly beginning to. I know people that are, I'm up till 3 and I get up at 11. Well, that's, what about when you get back to work or what have you? So I want to kind of stay in that schedule. So magnesium, I'm grateful for you. Those are my three things.
Good to know.
Magnesium.
Yeah. Well, no, I've been in that situation too where, like I think I've told you, I'm staying up till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And I'll get up at, it ranges, but I have gotten up and done the show. So basically taken a short,
nap,
3 hour rest. And I've also gotten up as late as, 11. And each time think, why can't I just get asleep? But it's interesting, even the other day, even last night, I think I would sort of finally feel like, okay, I need to go to bed. and it would be after midnight, just after midnight. And I'm thinking, oh, this is good.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Four-hour jump on when I normally go to bed.
Yeah, that's
and I'll still toss and turn for, you know, a couple of hours.
Exactly, and that's so exhausting because you're there, you set up the opportunity, and then you're like, really? I just want to sleep. And that was happening. I wasn't staying up late, but I was tossing and turning and then getting up early and then being tired and funky like the whole day, which I can't stand.
Right.
Being really able to get like rest. So,
what's been interesting for me is that I haven't really, I've taken maybe one nap and I purposely didn't go back to my room. Like I stayed in the living room.
Right.
And just put like a little blanket over me, like sat in one of the chairs and just sort of stretched out a little bit so that I wouldn't sleep for
that's good.
You know, and I spent some time just hanging out with my aunt. You know, that's, you know, she's during the day she's watching her TV shows, and so you know, the thing I probably should have put in there to be thankful for, I had my aunt's cousins, so technically they're my cousins. But they came over, and I don't know. I'm sure that's probably wrong to do. But they every week they come over to check on Aunt Thelma.
That's so nice.
Every Sunday, I think, because they usually make a bunch of food. And then my two aunts, they live together, and they also check on their elderly parents. Well, they can't really, but normally they would. So, but they always make extra food. I don't know if some of it they sell. I'm not sure because they drop it off at, like, I have another uncle. They drop off some Filipino food too. So, I think that's what they do. They did that on Sunday. They've done it on a couple of Sundays where they've just swung by. But I think they would normally do their laundry at their parents' when they go check on them.
Mm-hmm.
But because they live in assisted living, like they can't go
over there.
Oh,
there's no way. Wow.
So they're, you know, they can really just do FaceTime, which I think is really cool that they do that. Because my parents don't do FaceTime. But,
right.
They came over and they do laundry. And this time, I think they just waited because I think they did it a while back, probably last month, before we had a shutdown. But I think it just built up to the point where, like, yeah, we need to come over. So they brought over a ton of laundry, and they spent a good portion of the afternoon. Oh, and they did my aunt's hair.
Oh, that's
they colored
beautiful.
Her hair.
You know what? That there you go. That's huge, and I'm sure your aunt felt so much better.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think they're the ones. And so when you mentioned, you know, you gave me that tip, and I'm like, I know that there's people who actually, like, I knew that someone could do that for her.
Yes. Oh, that's great.
That would, you know, because, so that I think they've called her here before. So anyway, it was just a nice Sunday where they kind of did their thing and did laundry. And then I was, like, nudged to ask them about their family, like, you know, let me get your birthdays. And I updated some stuff on the family tree.
Oh, that's great.
And so it was a nice time. I don't think they've ever spent that long amount of time here when I'm here, or either at that or I've just been asleep. I'm not sure. But it was just nice to sit. You know, we were at this big dining room table and just
socialize. Oh my God.
As they're waiting for
beautiful.
Laundry. Yeah. You know, I think they did. They made some sweet rice type dish that I'm trying to cut out the sugar for right now. So I'm like, no, you know, thanks, but I'm good. And I mentioned to me about my skin stuff, and one of them was like, yeah, I have it too. She said, that's the Bangalan thing, like the skin.
Oh,
I'm like,
you're like,
oh, great.
Ancestry DNA. Right. So much. Yeah. Thank you ever. So, but I think that's great, you know, and the thing is, look, they're going to take their precautions. I'm sure everybody's washing their hands. I'm sure people aren't physically really all over each other. And we're starved for that. I'm so grateful that I mention it all the time because of the gratitude I have that I have two neighbors that I'm very, very close to. And we social distance. We don't physically touch. One is very immune compromised, so I don't even go into the apartment, but we will talk from, he'll be in the apartment, I'll be in the hallway, but we'll, I made him a goodie bag. He loves chocolate, so whenever I have stuff with the kids, actually, you met him, my friend Lou. So, we'll visit where, I'll be in the hallway. Outside of the apartment, he'll be at the threshold of the apartment. We'll both have our faces covered, but it's just grounding. And then our other neighbor, Susie, her boyfriend is also a very good friend of Lou's and I. We all went to school together. Love that we're all in the same building, coincidentally. And what she does, so I visit them like once or twice a week. We'll hang out and we will social distance, coffee. They have a terrace. They'll do their thing. And thank God for that, where I will just sit on one of the chairs in the terrace and just breathe the air. Mm. That has saved my life. But what's really cute is on Mondays and Wednesdays, for like an hour, she and these, I don't even know who these people are. I'm not getting involved, but, she co-hosts like a little afternoon Zoom dance party. So I'll go Mondays and Wednesdays. I think it's like 1 o'clock, I think. And I'm off camera. I don't participate, but I'm dancing off to the side and that's like my workout. So I'm dancing. She's there with the Zooming with these people. And that's been so much fun, and it's just a gloved elevator right away, a glove and mask elevator right away.
Yeah, well, we're finding ways to
loopholes,
and I'm more open to it. I had a friend again. I think Sunday was just one of those pivotal days.
Yeah,
I think it was Saturday. I had a friend. From our group who loves to bake and stuff, but she doesn't have an oven right now. Their oven just conked out on them, which you know, they have like a smaller, like a microwave / convection type oven
that
can do stuff
like
in.
To bake. That's not the same.
Right. And so she was in the mood to bake and she made a bunch of cookies, chocolate chip cookies, like two different types with chocolate chips. And so she texted all of us and said, you know, will everyone be around at some point? We can drop these off. You know, they're already in little baggies. So she didn't bake them, obviously, because she doesn't have an oven. But she put them in Ziploc bags so that the cookie dough, so that whenever you're ready, you can pop them in the oven. And she had little directions written on them. And it was just so nice.
That's so beautiful.
So that was the first time, you know, we've had someone other than like, you know, my aunts drop by. And it was just more of, you know, I was out on my front porch and she was in the front yard
and we just
stood and chatted for a while. And I didn't know she took her time doing that. She had a few, you know, people to drop by and visit, but I know it was really good for her too to be able to do that.
Of course. That appreciation, and that's what we're coming to, that place, that appreciation for human connection.
Right.
I've said this many times where I'll just randomly come up to my sons and I'm like, don't even say anything, shut up and hug me. I don't even care. I don't care. Shh. And I just, that's what we're so starved for, and when we're able to start doing that again, I think there's going to be a lot of crying of appreciation. Interesting. And I know a lot of people in your state are being very smart I'm not really following the news, but very peripherally, about because the governor is saying one thing, that people being using their sort of better judgment. So I think that's great that I noticed that in Georgia.
A lot of random places have been okayed by the governor to open, but a lot of them, including like massage parlors and places like that, are. Well, I know that my massage therapist, who works out of a chiropractic clinic, sent out an email saying, you know, despite that okay to be, she's like, I'm not going to be taking any clients anytime soon. I'm just going to wait for a bit longer until, you know, the numbers and the statistics make sense to do so.
Right.
But, you know, we're all feeling it. I mean, things that I would be able to do on a regular basis, just for a little tune up or whatever. Like every month we would get, my aunt and I would get massages, and you know, my aunt was like, oh, you know, I can't wait to get a massage. I'm like,
yeah,
it's really good.
Business is going to be booming for so many places once this is all behind us.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful, I'm looking at a lot of different things, and I've been putting a lot of, every time I'll get a little in my head about stuff, I'm like, let me sit still. Let me do some meditations, let me fill myself up with at least feeling good about all the other stuff that's going on, because that for me, I've been doing a little bit of writing.
Mm-hmm.
Every so often I'll just get into these, like, let me put some things down on paper, I guess, because I'm writing it on my computer. But I'll do a combination of just doing a little bit of writing, and I'll sit still, and I'll just, mm-hmm. whatever comes up, and I'll try to refocus. You know, what do I want to be filled with? You know, what do I want to release? So a lot of the releasing is, like, all these issues, all these little questions, like, well, you know, when is that going to happen? And, you know, when is the work going to start coming back in again? And,
mm-hmm.
or in the bigger picture, you know, one of the questions that I'm working on is part of that, just coaching, the map
mm-hmm.
coaching is,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, like, you know, very basic of, what, you know, what is it that you want to be doing? Or, you know, what if money and time aren't an issue, you know, what would you really want to be doing? And I've been out of that norm of trying to plan stuff for everybody. And as much as I do enjoy the wine tour stuff, it gives my brain this workout. And yet, you know, if I didn't have to do that, if I didn't have to,
right?
That would not be what I would be. I mean, I would, you know,
right.
what I'm picturing is very much like, you know, when do I feel at my best? You know, it's been when I've been traveling,
mm-hmm.
and not even the travel part. Although, like you know, you think about being on a ship, and that's just going somewhere, and you just enjoy wherever it goes. You pick the ship that you're on, but you know, oh, I know the ship is going here, then I want to go here.
Right.
But it isn't about trying to plan all that stuff. It's just being there. And for me, it was a sense of being, and you know, when I can just be like, I do love meeting people. I think for right now, it's like that first step of just being in environments where people are interesting, you know, they're nice and but everyone has their stuff, you know, everyone has a story and a life experience that's going to be very different from
mm-hmm.
yours. And,
yep.
and as you get to know them, you hear, you know, what they've overcome, what they're still trying to figure out, you know, where they think they want to go. And,
uh-huh.
and it, sometimes it just depends. When I'm on these ships, mostly they're older, much older people.
And you would think, oh, well, they're at the end of their life, but they're not. For a lot of them, they're still thinking of other places they want to explore. And
That's so beautiful.
Right. Yeah. And then you meet people who are, you know, parents, but they still have young kids, and that's their focus, is their kids. And, you know, the little things like, oh, where are they going to go to school and how are they going to take care of themselves? So they're sort of caught in that cycle, that's where they are.
Right.
So it's a little different with each person, and it's been interesting to observe that. But, you know, part of what I was writing was, you know, being able to just be and to meet these people. I did put in some writing. I was writing a lot last night about what kind of things would I like to write about. And part of it has to do with meeting different people and hearing their stories, maybe not talking about that story specifically, but taking aspects of that and like, well, that would be a kind of a neat.
You know what just came to mind when you're talking about that is that there are virtual, because of what's going on, writers groups.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be interesting to maybe look into being part of one. It will get you, it will be like a next step. I'm not saying that this as an immediate step, but as a potential step down the road, because when you are in a like-minded space, and I find with so many of the writers that I do know, that they're part of a collective or they're part of a group, it actually structures the writing in a sense, because every week they're in a very safe space talking about the work and refining the work and all of that. So that might be something for down the road to think about.
I like that.
My older son, God bless him, I'm really impressed what he's doing with this time. He's been reading a lot of the classics. Like, he read The Count of Monte Cristo, which is like a 1,500-page book. He is really into poetry and has been for several years, but he's really, I'm not just saying it because he's my son. He's a very gifted poet. And
I can see that.
And he recently joined a Zoom poetry book, a poetry group, and I was so proud of him that he was brave enough to take that step and to own that he's writing, that he's invested in the writing. And who knows if we weren't on, you know, under lockdown, if he would have thought to have done this. But I'm very proud of that. And another friend of mine who is a screenwriter, he runs a chapter of a very big collective that's all over the country. He runs the Manhattan of New York City chapter. And it's incredible. It's like when they say when two or more are gathered. And it's just a matter of finding the right fit. It's no different than in the spiritual community. It has to be the right fit. I really don't like things that are in a group space in the spiritual community. This is why I'm so grateful for being invited to the mastermind groups with you guys, because that's a no-brainer. It's you're not dealing with a whole spectrum of all different issues might detract from what you're trying to accomplish. So maybe something to keep on the back burner to explore. And what's great, because it would be virtual, it could be any place in the world. you like to travel. So it's very interesting. Do you know what I mean? Like, if it's a kind of a global community, then it'd be interesting to see what kind of connections you might make in terms
That's
of.
True.
Yeah. So something to investigate during this time. I kind of like laugh to myself where we're going to get so into this pattern and then all of it's going to be behind us, who knows when. And people are going to be like, no, but I want to stay in my pajamas all day.
Right.
And go online. I want to organize. I want to take 6 weeks to organize my closet. It's taking me like 6 weeks to organize this big, I'm taking my time. And I'm doing lots of other things as well. But taking my time. And I love that things are getting done very slowly, but they're getting done in stages when I feel like getting them done. I'd rather, take my virtual machete and clear the clutter of what we're feeling, what you were saying before, that, look, there is this low-grade anxiety that's underneath all of this because we've never gone through anything like this, and it's so insane. So we're going to go into that stark place, and we have to manage that. And so when we reset, that takes time. So it is about taking your time and exploring and then feeling so much better and healed on the other side of that, so that when we do go into the next realm, the next phase, it's not going to be like how things used to be, because we don't want that. And what's really interesting is that before I even met you guys, but I was doing a show on Source Energy Radio, which is how all this started. So this is over 10 years ago. And I was on a call with Trey Black, who, this is how I'm connected with you guys. He was working with Anna and he was working with me. And one of our very early conversations, he wanted to have a conversation where he was talking to me, but I was responding through a channel. And that was my early days of channeling. So I'm not the person that I am now by any stretch of the imagination. It seems like that wasn't even me when I really think back. And one thing that I'm remembering lately is that he asked me a question, something like, so where are we headed? Where are we going? And I said, oh, we are in the process of shifting to the fifth gate dimension. I said that over 10 years ago, people.
Shifting to the what?
The fifth gate dimension.
Fifth gate, okay.
Fifth gate dimension. Yeah. I don't even know, and I'm like, what am I saying? I don't know. Okay. Because then I used to split, sort of like not trusting. And it's crazy because let's talk of 5G, right? Which is weird. And then, we're talking about 5D, 3D, 4D, 5D, multidimensional existence. And over 10 years ago, I didn't know I was saying or why I was saying, but it's here we are. It's crazy. And that was 11 years ago, maybe, that I had that conversation with him. It's like when I met Anna and her family when the kids were real little. I told you, I didn't say anything to her, and I kept my mouth shut for years. I'm like, I knew it wasn't going to, I knew it wasn't going to last. I knew it was going to fall apart. I said to you about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I'm like, okay, it's going to take a minute, but you're going to get into a relationship. that person's going to have kids. Now they might be, but look at the rate you're going, it might be, they might be, you know, kids with kids, but that's okay. It's very interesting when you think about, when you look back and you get impressions of things and then they make sense so much later.
Right.
Crazy. So I think we're moving toward a new paradigm where it's not like, well, let's just do all these things that we haven't been able to do before. It's like, let's do these things because we are synergizing a new way of life.
Right.
Very,
right.
Very interesting. Where is this going to be the great divide, the great marker of pre-corona, post-corona? I think so. And I'm catching up on The Handmaid's Tale, my favorite show. And I'm taking my time on purpose because I want it to end. And I'm toward the end of season 3. And who knows what shows they're doing now. Crazy how people are scrambling to reinvent production.
Yeah, very interesting.
You know, because that's sort of my field. And I'm like, okay, what's going to happen? But in The Handmaid's Tale, which is very dystopian, and it's not too far in the future. It's like down the block into the future. But what struck me when I was watching an episode yesterday was when they were referring to life before. And I'm like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's different now. So life before. So how, is it going to be a great divide, or is it just going to be a softening and a merging and a new understanding? I mean, it could go so many different ways.
Well, I've always thought that these types of changes, because things are always changing when things affect a lot of people or everybody.
Everybody.
In our world, everybody.
In
our world, everybody.
Right.
I'm sure there are people on other islands that may be like, well, whatever, you know, no big deal. But when things like that affect a huge number of population or to our world, everybody, then again, as many different perspectives and coping mechanisms are employed. So there are some people who, I can't always say they're going to be from maybe the Western world, but they may be like, thank God, you know, thank God this is changing.
What I say. Yeah.
And this is partly why, you know, writing, answering a question that I was talking about earlier, like what would you want to do?
Right.
I mean,
right.
These are, I was really thinking beyond, got to get a job, got to have a title, got to have these things.
Right.
It just didn't fit. And even when you were talking about just all the different changes, there are people like the people who have dealt with living in wartime, where that's a situation that's so different from where they were before.
Right.
And it took a while to get back into maybe not what they would consider normal, maybe so, but you know, to get back to a routine that was at least a little more normal than sheltering in place. And you know, for them, you know, rationing of food. For us, it's like rationing of toilet paper. But you know, there's like a big change in how we have done things. And so this is, I think, compared to being in a war zone, obviously, much a much easier go of it. It's definitely inconvenient. And obviously trying to avoid getting sick is one thing versus, you know, having, you know, stuff bombed on you or whatever. It's a slightly different situation, but I feel like the effects can be the same in that sense of feeling trapped or not having the freedom, not even thinking in those terms of, oh, well, I'll just pop down to the store and, you know, and get this. So little things like that, you know, not being able to do the work that you used to do.
Right.
In the way that you know how to do it.
Uh-huh.
So after 9/11, I think the same thing. I think, that's a different way. I mean, and for us who, you know, other parts of the country, we didn't have to deal with it the way you guys did in New York City.
It's just a smell alone.
Very different.
That's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different world for you versus where I was.
Right.
And yet, you know, the feeling of what the hell just happened.
That's the world.
What does this all mean?
Thing.
Having so much
right.
thrown into question,
mm-hmm.
it's that same feeling of well, now what? And I think
right.
the sentiment then is, you know, to want to be safe. 9/11, that are still like, who do we blame this on? You know, there's like a lot of the blame
right.
and on the virus. I mean, there's still blame on, you know, people want to blame who came up with it.
I know.
You know,
there's this one woman.
There's
like, oh, terrible. People
right.
Hanging,
so there's
that.
But
people.
Then
yeah.
But then beyond that, it's also, well, you know, if you can't answer that and it doesn't matter, your life has to go on, you know, whether you
right.
know how it happened. You know, you just have to figure out, well, what am I doing now? And it's interesting because the structures of our world can't be supported. And they haven't been able to be supported for a while, but this is really showing it.
Yeah.
You know, the lines in which we've traveled, the lines in which we've communicated, you know, everything's changed and we're finding where a lot of things don't make sense. A lot of things don't fit what needs to happen. And yet, like, there are certain things in place that always, like, oh, well, you always have to have this. So, so you always have to pay for it. And now we're all like, well, do we have to?
Right.
You know, do we have to? And is it, you know, have look at what we've been able to do without a lot of the things that,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've just taken for granted. I think it's just been an interesting thing. And I've always had this issue when it's like, oh, well, what do you want to do? And so part of my writing was like, you know, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? Cause I know that there's this huge transition and it feels like I'm always in a transition. So what can I be doing as I dream of something bigger? You know,
mm-hmm.
what am I supposed to be doing right now? And so not like this is a be all end all of choices, you know, I can aspire to do these things and yet, you know, okay, still need to have money coming in.
Yes, ma'am.
And so what would I choose to do? And it's interesting to pass the time, which is sort of one of those phrases that like, well, yeah, well, what would I want to do to pass the time? And if I view, say, like just getting money, making money and getting money as that, it's a very different approach. Like the feeling is like, well, okay. And I want to get beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that whatever I am doing, you know, even with the wine tour stuff, like it was just something to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And here I am, like, if you're in charge of it, I'm not, and I do it, but
and you're running
yet.
It, right? you know, and yet what, you know, what else is out there? And I guess it's a good thing that you get to experience things in this body, you know, at different paces.
Right.
Because the instant, you know, instant manifestation could be like a real whirlwind of, oh, okay, you know, I've got this. It allows for this learning curve of emerging talents or preferences, or saying, I really don't enjoy this aspect, but I really love this aspect. And I'm finding that that's the case, you know. Maybe being in charge of everything isn't exactly what I want to do. I would love to be in collaboration with other people, you know.
Yep.
And just to have a bigger viewpoint of, well, I know that these things need to happen. It's interesting because if I were to be in a partnership with other people or, you know, whatever, then there would be other people who would pick up on the stuff. Like, it's sort of like years ago when I lived with my girlfriend, I think I told you guys this, like it was, she had that artistic eye and would like want to put things in a certain place. And I'm like, that's perfect. You know, like, that's just like stuff that doesn't have to be in my head. I don't even think about stuff like that.
Right.
But
no,
but
I
it
love
was
that.
Like, it was
right.
Yeah. And I was, and I appreciated that. I'm like, no, fortunately, you know, we were of the same mindset, or at least, you know, her aesthetic was something that I could appreciate.
Right.
But it just wasn't stuff that I put a lot of energy into. Then it was nice to not, you know, to not have to do that for somebody else, if that was the case. Like if environment, because environment is important. I don't think we realize that until
so
we get to this point.
Oh my god!
Until someone has
that viewpoint, right?
Yeah.
So grateful. Yes. So grateful. Yeah. Talk about environment. Like my whole environment changed about a year, almost a year ago, thanks to your cousin, thanks to Amy, thanks to Anna. Yeah, and to like, and what to your point? Like, I know what I like, and I have a great eye, but in terms of the mechanics of it, and the fact, talk about collaboration. That Anna and Amy had that, and were able to implement that, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But then, when she was here in last June, I'm like, girl, I'm gonna put you in a movie. And so she saw, and she saw my world, and she saw me like doing my thing. So it's so beautiful when there's the sense of collaboration and exchange. But you know, it's so crazy. When I was visiting my friend Lou, and what's so sweet is like if he gets a contract or something, he likes me to look at it if it's for like an acting gig. And now they're doing they're doing like presentations via Zoom. It's so weird. Like a friend of mine, I don't know if he coined this phrase or it's going to be the new thing or what have you, but this is what I've been hearing: Neo Theater, N-E-O Theater, Neo Theater. So everybody's rehearsing like on Zoom. And then they're going to do this presentation, and what the hell? One is for a subscriber base for a really reputable off-Broadway theater company, and then the other one is a fundraiser for a different theater company. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Well, people are finding their way. People are finding their way, navigating their way. But it's so, oh my God, like I think I'll weep the next time I can go into a theater to see live theater again. I don't know when that's going to happen. A year from now, 2 years from now, and that's crazy. And this is an art form that's been around since, you know, the Greeks. What the hell? That's what I'm talking about, where it's like, wait a minute. We didn't need no technology. We just needed, you know, somebody that knew how to write, tell a good story, and a bunch of people that could, you know, facilitate telling that story. We can't do that live now. We have to do it like on Zoom. Like that's crazy. I don't know. So that's going to be interesting how the shape of things to come. But like you, to be open to embrace it, let's find a foothold while we can. And I'm like, good for these inventive people that are, things just don't happen overnight. So if there's a TV show that's going to be in production, they're planning the logistics of that now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's all this content, all this remote content now, which is kind of weird. I don't know. I mean, we're stumbling through the best we can.
And you bring up this thing about, you know, having it seem instantaneous. Uh-huh. But yet there's so much that goes into the production of it.
That is what
is changing. I think it's, you know, anyone could do like a Facebook Live, you know, anyone can record themselves and put it out there.
Right.
And so it just depends on there are a lot of different things. I think for me, it's been nice to not have my phone with me everywhere and I just leave it.
Yeah.
And then
too.
I'll come back to a different, I'll leave it and not look at it. And then I stopped having stuff pop up on my computer.
That's
and
great.
Maybe my messaging, and that's about it. I used to get my phone calls. And I'm like, oh my God, it was just too much.
Yes.
It was always very annoying anyway. So for me, and I think even after like 9/11, with the little, you know, the stuff on the bottom part of your screen with now instant advertising and additional space, it's like every little bit to get your attention. And I think this is what has been interesting for me, was that none of it really mattered to me. And I knew of people who have done like social media, you know, taking a break from social media and
right.
just doing a cleanse of that sort. Like, and they won't tell you because you can't like, you know, did she tweet about that? Did she say how long? You know, you don't know.
Right. Can't talk about it.
I'm just
going
to be off for a little bit till I feel like I'm ready to get back on. Of course, it's annoying if, say, you're dating that person and then, you know, all of a sudden you can't get in touch with that person. But,
right.
you know, that has been the interesting thing, is to create something that's different. And does your creation depend on, and I realize for some people, you know, most people, it does depend on many other people buying into it. Literally, that phrase, buying into it. And then
right.
also buying into it. So I think this culture is changing where I would,
yep.
at least I would hope, where maybe our
right.
buying into isn't just the attention and the dollars that follow, but maybe the attention and maybe the dollars that, because the dollars aren't even there. Like, it's not even about that. That's what I look at, like a different way of looking at our currency or our energy, because as everyone says, money is energy. So let's look at a different way of how our energy is being spent, or where it's being spent. Where is it being recharged? Where is it being sustained? And
right.
and that's that transition that I think of, because when you look at how things work. And you know, you tell me, because you're in this industry, you're also on a different track than the mainstream, where
right.
it's independent stuff,
yep.
and so the content is very different, because you don't have as many restrictions or, well,
right.
yeah, that's a good idea, but let me change it, and it becomes into something that doesn't remotely, you know, resemble the original idea, like,
right.
Well, okay, so you kept the name of the main character, and that's it. You know, like,
that's
but the rest
it. Yeah,
of it,
and it happens
isn't.
All the time. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure it does, because there's
yeah.
there's a narrative that seems to work because it's so popular. Maybe it's because that's what is limited. That's what has ultimately been trickled down. Like, well, that was the original story was this. Like, well, that sounds amazing, but this is how it turns out.
Right.
In production, you know. And that's just, that's any story. So it's interesting, because now we don't have, maybe people aren't, they aren't waiting for that funnel, you know, they aren't waiting for,
mm-hmm.
they're just putting it out there, you know,
right.
just like, oh, I'm doing a TikTok. You know, look how I teach this dance. You know, and it's interesting. So for us to come up with original content, really as original as we can get, maybe that's the gold mine. And even that phrase, a gold mine, is different. You know,
right?
Because it's like, oh, it's something that people like. Oh, I can make money off of that. And sometimes it isn't. Well, most of the time, it really isn't about the money. It's the message.
Right.
And I think that's what I have been looking at a lot lately. Like, what am I going to be doing? You know, back in the day, like I said, yeah, I would love for it to be like as a shaman or as the spiritual, you know, aspect of a community. Like, that's what I would love to be. And then it's like, whatever, you want to pay me in like chickens or, you know, whatever, like vegetables. Okay, that's cool. You know, it's like, okay, well, but just to be part of a community and knowing that we're all contributing in different ways. And it isn't about the money, but the well-being of your family, of yourself, of your community. That's the sort of stuff that, you know, I've really been interested in. And that's why partly living in a small town as opposed to big city, those small town stories, the really quirky ones, because every small town, if you think about it, every family has like that one oddball that makes it kind of lively. You know, those are the sorts of stories that I enjoy because, you know, those are those differences, but yet the way people deal with it is different. You know, it's like, not like, oh, you're weird. Oh, you've got red hair. Ew. You know, it's interesting how everyone can respond to it differently, but that's our theater, right? That's our art. If we tell that story.
Right.
And we offer a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
interesting what we're thinking about. And how things we just don't know what they're going to look like. I have no idea. Like, I have no idea what any of this is going to look like, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. And yeah, and I'm grateful that I still can coach actors remotely. I've done that before. It was sort of, if they weren't around, you would do that. But it's like what I would make in a day, I make in a week if I'm lucky. Like, that's just what it is. And we already talked about the three things we're grateful for, but the random acts of kindness, I think I said this the other day, has been phenomenal. And those are just, to me, nudges from source, like, you know what? There's no reason to panic. And you're okay today, and you and your children will be okay tomorrow. That's it. And we were okay yesterday. So what's the bright spot for today? It's just converting the anxiety into neutrality, yielding that virtual machete, and feeling your stuff, clearing it through, putting it behind you so you know where it is. It honors you. You honor it. The growth that comes from that. And I think what we are experiencing, whether we're conscious of it or not, is a conversion of density to light. And that's why things are going to be very, very different. And who knows, maybe all this talk, and then we'll sign off at this last point, all this talk about the crystalline matrix and all that, maybe that's what that is. It's a conversion of density to light. And it's a choice, because free will is not going anyplace.
Right.
And that's why we don't know. We have to be in the moment, because we don't know. Free will, it keeps us on our toes, to say the very least. But if we are mindful about where our toes are going and what pool of consciousness that they're stepping into, that's pretty much all we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And to appreciate the growth, even the unpleasantness. Okay, put it behind you. It serves you. It's making you stronger and that much more amazing. So, very interesting conversation as always. And if you guys need to get a hold of us, you can email loablend@gmail.com. And we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Please take very, very good care of yourself. And as always, let the light do the work and see brighter days ahead. Love you guys. Take care.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
That you like.